like to invite you to hear this morning's scripture reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. This is the good news of the gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its space, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Jesus, thinking that Jesus was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you'd join me for a word of prayer as I begin. Lord, what an odd thing to stare at a camera where I'm accustomed to staring at the faces and seeing all the faces of the men and women and the children and the students who make up Flourish United Methodist Church. And especially on an Easter, on an Easter Sunday. What an unusual thing. And yet I believe that you have the power through your Holy Spirit to use these words to speak into the hearts of all those who are watching at this time or who will watch later today or who will watch it on any day. Your power transcends our circumstances. And so I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. And on this Easter, you would use them as a message of good news and new life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before I begin, I just want to again thank everybody for your generosity. Every single day, we put out blue bins in front of the church sanctuary, and every single day, people come by and drop things off for our Help Hungry Kids program or earlier for our food distribution through Grace Ministries. And it's just been remarkable. We opened this COVID-19 relief fund for people in our church and for people in our community. You know, there's already about $5,000 in it, and it was only opened about 3 days ago. It's just been astounding to see who you are and to see what the church is at this time. It's really been a time to realize that we are not the church that is separated. We are the church that is deployed. And I heard another pastor say that, and that is exactly my experience. We are the church deployed. And so thank you for everything you're doing. I want to talk to you, though, about Easter, appropriate for the day, because I've been talking to a lot of people, and what they've said is, it just doesn't feel like Easter. It doesn't feel like Easter if I'm sitting in my living room. This was a couple days ago, and somebody said to me, if I'm going to be sitting in my living room instead of in the church, it's not going to feel like Easter. It's not going to feel like Easter, someone else said, if I can't have my family together and my friends together for the Easter brunch that we do every year, and it's a big thing, and there's certain foods that need to be there, and that's what makes it special. And somebody else said, it doesn't feel like Easter when I'm worried about my health and the health of my loved ones, and I can't even get there to help them and see them if they would be in trouble. And then, of course, the hard one, I mean, health is really hard. We recognize that's paramount. But somebody else said, you know what? I don't even know what's going to be there when the economy opens back up. I don't know what's going to happen to my job, and I feel so much uncertainty. It just doesn't feel like Easter when there's so much uncertainty. And what I want to do is give you a secret today. You may not have ever really noticed this. The first Easter, it didn't feel like Easter either. It wasn't Easter on the first Easter. It just wasn't. It didn't feel like Easter. It didn't look like Easter. Now, why do I say that? I want you to think about Simon Peter. Simon Peter, after Jesus' arrest, went and stood at a campfire right outside of the Caiaphas's palace, probably where that cell was, and he stood outside in the courtyard, and three times he denied knowing Jesus, and then he heard that cock crow, just as Jesus predicted, and he realized, I'll never be able to undo this. I mean, from that time, Jesus was flogged, he had a crown of thorns, he was taken off to his cross, and he died. And on the first Easter, Peter was sitting around thinking, I'll never be able to apologize. I'll never be able to undo that. It didn't feel like Easter for Peter. It didn't feel like Easter to the one that we call the beloved disciple, who many think is John. He had been beside Jesus all that time, and he had gone all the way to the foot of the cross, and he was with Jesus' mother as she watched her son dying on a cross. Can you imagine a woman who's watching her son suffer on a crucifixion? And John's right there, the beloved disciple is right there, and I'm imagining him just holding her up. And Jesus from the cross says, Mother, this is your son. And Jesus looks at him, and we can only imagine their eyes locking, and Jesus saying, this is your mother. And on the first Easter, just a day or two after that moment, it doesn't feel like Easter to the beloved disciple. It didn't feel like Easter to Mary. Mary, who rose up early in the morning before anyone else, Mary, who ran to the tomb to do the one thing for Jesus that she could do, to anoint his body, to make sure that everything was okay, and to make sure that the respect that she felt he deserved was actually being given. And Mary comes in, and she finds that the body's not there. She, in her grief, looks up, and these eyes covered with tears, realizes the stone's been rolled away, it's empty, and she runs off and she tells the disciples, they have taken the body of the Lord. It didn't feel like Easter to Mary Magdalene on the first Easter. And here's what we can see. The longest hours that anyone endures are the hours between the end of our worst circumstances and the beginning of our new life. There is a gap between the worst circumstances of your life and the beginning of your new life. And those are the longest hours you and I will ever endure. And I think many of us are feeling that right now with all these questions about what's going to happen, how am I going to be, how about my loved ones, people we're concerned about. And it's not just us, our kids feel it too. I was thinking about how so often Easter is about the unexpected presence of Jesus. And when we feel like Jesus isn't present, it feels like he's absent. And an acquaintance of mine shared with me through an email exchange that his 3.5-year-old daughter, he was talking to her, and he went up to his little girl, and he said, "Are you missing your friends?" And she said, "Yeah, but it's the virus. And I've been asking Jesus to take the virus away, but so far he's not doing anything." And the father said, "You know, honey, sometimes Jesus doesn't work as fast as we want him to work, but I want you to know he's still there and he's still working." And his daughter looked at him and said, "Yeah, but he's probably working from home." Does it feel like that to you? I mean, does it just sort of feel like God's working from home somewhere and not as effective as we like it? And that's how the first disciples experienced the first Easter, and that's how you and I might be experiencing this Easter. And in those long hours between our worst circumstances and when our new life begins, what the first disciples discovered is that fear drills holes in our serenity and in our peace. Fear drills holes in our sense of security. And it's a hard place to be. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to say, "Is God even with us? Is my faith of any value? Should I still believe what I've always believed, given that the most extraordinary circumstances of my life are happening?" That's the question of faith this Easter. And can I just say, one of the mistakes we make as Christians is when we feel like it's got to be Easter all the time. When we require life in order to hold faith to be Easter Sunday, every day that we wake up, and every day feels exciting, and every day feels like anything's possible, there's no way that can hold us, because throughout every century, throughout every time, Christians have suffered and Christians have struggled. And that's what you and I are doing today. And so what do we do when Easter doesn't feel like Easter? Sometimes we make the happy ending the requirement and not the joyful surprise. But sometimes we discover that in our most unpleasant circumstances, we discover things about ourselves and about God that we couldn't have found out any other way. And I want you to be thinking about that on this Easter day during the COVID-19 pandemic. I remember years ago, Tim Ward, one of our associate pastors, told me that when their oldest son was born, when Jackson was born, Susan went into labor just a little bit early, and it was Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl Sunday. That's very memorable. And they had plans for the Super Bowl, of course. They had plans for the Super Bowl that, they were going to watch it on a big screen TV, and they were going to be friends and family, and it was going to be a great day. But instead, they were in the hospital, and not only were they in the hospital with a pregnancy and a delivery, Jackson had to be whisked away straight to a NICU, a intensive care unit for a child. And while the Super Bowl played, rather than being with their friends and their family, Tim said he kind of got up and sat up in Susan's hospital bed, and they were watching the Super Bowl on a screen this big instead of one that was, bigger than their whole body. And on a little screen this big, he said, we discovered that was our best Super Bowl ever. And it was a great Super Bowl, not because everything was together. It was the best Super Bowl because it was the Super Bowl that marked the beginning of their new life. And they realized that in that time, they had learned to trust God with the life of their son. And they had learned to trust each other and depend on each other and have faith in each other, and their faith in God and their faith in each other, and the great love for their son that was occupying their every thought as he was in the NICU made them realize that Super Bowl, it was nothing but a game. And I wonder if you can see things like that in your life right now. As you worry about your health, as you worry about the health of people you love, you realize that a lot of things that we're missing, I mean, they're important and they're great and they're good, but they're nothing compared to the most essential things in our life. And some of the essential things in your life are the people that you're reaching out to and calling right now, that you're having Zoom meetings with right now. For many of us, it's the people right there in the room around you. It's Easter when we discover that God is present with us and around us, and that God is already blessed us. And I'm starting to realize that the first Easter is asking us whether we can trust God when our present is not the future we once envisioned. Can we trust God when everything has changed and we've been swept off our feet by something that we never saw coming? And you have to be patient with the people around you, because some people get to Easter really fast. Like John and Peter, after Mary speaks, they come running to the tomb. Peter goes inside. John's waiting. Peter walks out. He's dumbfounded. He doesn't know what's going on yet. He's not sure. But John walks into the tomb, walks out, and the Gospel of John says, he saw and believed. And I read that, and I'm like, he saw and believed, that's it? That all he needed was to look inside, and he gets it? How fast he came to faith. And if you're somebody who's like, hey, it is Easter, be patient with the people around you who aren't feeling that way, because not everybody comes to it fast. But I'll tell you this, for John, I think he never saw life the same way again. I think he never saw life the same way. I think after that, he just thought, in this life, anything's possible. Anything can happen. And John, that affected how he saw the rest of his life and every circumstance within it. Assuming that the beloved disciple was John, he would see the rest of his life through the lens of the resurrection, and he was going to experience a lot of really wonderful things, but he was also going to see some very dark and hard things. John saw the church root and begin to flourish and blossom. And he saw lives changed, and he saw miracles done. But he also saw the church hacked down and Rome attempt to root it out and destroy it. And he ends his life on an island. And he's given, in the midst of all this suffering, he's given this great revelation. A revelation of what's to come. And it's one of the most confusing passages of Scripture. In fact, a college student, I don't know if it was last week or the week before last, sent me a text message. And the text message said, it seems like the world's going to end. Do you know if that's what the Revelation says, the Revelation of John says? And I got to tell you, we were texting back and forth. Text messaging is probably not the best medium to explain the Revelation of John, which is arguably the most confusing piece of Scripture in the entire Bible. But I thought to myself, hey, when else am I going to have this conversation with this person? So I'm definitely going for it. So I'm texting back and forth, trying to be a great theologian, and she's asking me questions. And finally, on the last text, I wrote this, and I'm quoting what I wrote. I wrote, John's revelation was for John in his time, but it gives us insight for our time as well. It teaches us some basic things. Number one, life will get hard. Number two, you may be persecuted for something as simple as saying, Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Number three, we can be confident in eternal life. And number four, after everything, God wins. Grace wins. Love wins. Christ is victorious. John is telling us, you can trust in Christ. You can bet your life on that. I think that's what somebody who saw the resurrection understood, and I think that changed the way he saw everything the rest of his life. But not everybody comes to faith fast. Not everybody wakes up on Easter and says, hey, it's Easter no matter what. Some people come slow, like Mary. I mean, think about Mary. She comes back to the tomb, and she is so clouded. Her tears of grief cloud her vision so much that she is speaking to two angels, but she doesn't notice one thing. She's speaking to two angels. She walks out of the tomb, and the risen Christ appears, but all she thinks is, that's the guy that runs the cemetery. And it takes the voice of Jesus to wake up inside her the fact that Easter has come. The resurrection has come. She's not like John. She's her own person. But I'll tell you, I think that changed how she saw death from then on. I think she never saw death, and I think she was a formidable woman in the church from that point on, because she had such assurance, such confidence that come what may, God is with us. And one day she knew she'd claim the resurrection. And I think she told her story far and wide. And she feared no man when they said, hey, you can't talk because you're a woman. I think she spoke up. I think that's how her record got into the gospel itself, because she said it so often. I think she was revered because when she walked in the room, people were like, that's her. But it wasn't just that she was there, a witness. It was that she lived her witness. She lived her assurance. She lived her confidence the same way you and I right now are being called to live our witness and our confidence rather than our anxiety and our fear. Mary never saw death the same way. John never saw life the same way. Why? Because while Mary at first didn't see what was around her, because frankly it didn't feel like Easter, she experienced the resurrection. And once she figures that out, she says to everybody, I have seen the Lord. And that changes everything. And here's the good news that I want you to hear this morning. And I want you to hear it clearly. I know it doesn't feel like Easter when your life has been this disrupted by things you don't control and by decisions that people are making for our health and for our safety that we're all working to honor and abide by because it's right for everybody. I want to tell you something. It may not feel like Easter, but it's Easter. Because the Lord is risen. I know it doesn't feel like Easter when you're worried and you've got anxiety about everything from your health to the economy and you're worried about what it's going to be like to go back to normal, whatever normal's going to be. But it's Easter. And it's Easter because the Lord is risen. And if the Lord is risen, then the Lord, the risen Lord, is with us today. We, you and I, are going to persevere. And we're going to bless our community in the midst of this hardship, and we're going to see this as a time of unusual opportunity for the church to show itself as the most generous group of people in the community, the most loving group of people in the community, the people that show up in safe ways when others are sheltering in such fear that they won't even break the plane of an interior door, much less an exterior door. We're going to be safe, but we're going to help people find food and shelter and pay their bills. Why? Because the Lord is risen. And because the risen Christ is calling us to care and love the people around us and in your homes, you're going to persevere. You're going to do that, not just like get through it, but you're going to persevere and you're going to remember this as one of the finest times in the life of your family. The finest time. You're going to look back on this years from now and you're going to say, you know what? We really called and checked in on each other. And we made phone calls on days we didn't feel like making phone calls to make sure that our elderly aunt or uncle or somebody we love or a friend was okay. We took care of those extroverts that were stuck inside. We did that. Why? Because we're Easter people. We knew God was with us. You're going to remember this as a time when you fought off the worst impulses to have a fight or an argument and instead chose to be loving and patient and kind and compassionate. You know why? Because friends, it's Easter. And I don't care if it feels like Easter or it doesn't feel like Easter. I only know that Jesus is risen. So I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up wherever you are. And I know you're already not standing up. I know some of you are like, I'm not standing up. Do we have to stand up? Yes, I know you're on your couch. You're rooted to your couch. You haven't taken a shower in 3 days. But I want you to stand up. Now, if you can't stand up physically, I want you to stand up in spirit because I know we've got some church members who are in wheelchairs and they can't stand up. But they, in one of them gave me that phrase, I'm going to stand up in spirit. And I want you to stand up in person or stand up in spirit. And when you do that, I want you to say it with me. And I want you to say it out loud. And I want you to say it loudly. I'm going to say the Lord is risen. And you're going to say he is risen indeed. And when you say it this time, I want you to claim Easter. I want you to get past it. It doesn't feel like Easter. I want it to be Easter. You ready? The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Happy Easter.